Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Stand with me, please. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. I will read, and then Luke 16 and 16, two verses. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Luke 16, 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. I want to talk to you on the subject. Faith never calls the devil sir. Faith never calls the devil sir. You may be seated. One of the systemic problems in America is our loss of civility. Elder Bush talked about a kinder and gentler nation. I always thought that was a little blasé, but looking back, not nearly as much as I thought it was. The kindness and civility that has taken its leave of America has been a major assault on this great nation. And so one of the systemic problems in America is our loss of civility. I still respect my fellow human beings. I do a lot of moving around a lot of people. And I still respect my fellow human beings and call them sir and ma'am. That's totally out of style. And when you do that, people look at you like you are some kind of a dinosaur. But it is planned to be that way. You know, when I was a young man, I watched old people do things that were totally out of step with my generation. And I thought, they are ignorant of what's going on. As I got older, I realized it wasn't that they didn't know, it was that they didn't care. And so no matter what people do, and no matter how rude people are, I'm going to be polite to people. I'm going to hold doors open for people, men and women, younger than I am, older than I am. I'm going to call them ma'am. I'm going to call them sir. It's not about them as much as it is about me. You know, when you call somebody a name, say you call President Biden by a disrespectful name, it doesn't say nearly as much about him. It's what you call him is not going to affect him at all. It says much more about you. When you say something degrading about somebody else, it says more about you than it does about them. The rawness of my faith will not let me call the devil sir, because he deserves no respect. The devil deserves no respect. Somebody said that a man would say, a preacher I knew, would never say anything negative about anybody. They said, what about the devil, sir? He said, he's a good devil. I take exception to that. He's not a good devil. He's an effective devil, but he's not a good devil. The word faith appears 336 times in the King James Version of the Bible. Other Bible versions have varying accounts. Faith appears 458 times in the New International Version, 389 times in the King James Version, 378 times in the New American Standard Version, and 521 times in the Good News Bible. The word faith is used often in the Bible, but it's used sparingly, even more sparingly than the word grace in the Old Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament are two different books. And the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. The Bible says that of itself. The word grace is used 171 times in the Bible. But the word grace is only used 37 times in the Old Testament. But the word faith that is used all of these hundreds of times in the Bible, believe it or not, the word faith is only used one time in the Old Testament. Now, the word faithful is used a number of times, but the word faith is only used one time. This text introduces a brand new principle with the ministry of John the Baptist, and the subsequent birth of Jesus Christ, the opening of the New Testament, the initiation of violence. That's what's introduced in the New Testament, believe it or not. Oh, not the violence of carnal weapons. We're told in the scripture that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through Christ. It brings to light the revelation of the Prince of Peace declaration when he said, you thought I came to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace, but Jesus said, you say, think I came to bring peace, but now I came to bring the sword of division. Obviously not carnal weapons, but he was referring to the sword of the Spirit, that we would be spiritual warriors. To jump ahead in the scripture, it is the Apostle Paul that introduces us to the concept of faith aggression. Faith aggression. When he declares that if we have infirmities, yes, even sin in our life, we break through to heaven's throne of grace, not with timidity, but with boldness. He would write, let us come to the throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. The kingdom of God suffers violence. Text introduces a new concept. A violence of faith wrapped in this enigma is a revelation that faith is different than anything else in the world. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith is not polite. Faith is never polite. Faith is demanding. Hence the title, Faith Never Calls the Devil Sir. Faith is never passive. Faith is always persistent. Faith never waits in line. Have you ever been in line and when some rogue person would jump way ahead in your line, everybody in the line is mad at him, and somebody that's bigger than strong of him might call it to his attention in a very uncomplimentary way. But faith never waits in line in the Bible. It always goes to the head of the line. Faith never accepts no for an answer. Faith never observes protocol. Faith absolutely has no manners. Faith's overpowering attribute is desperation. You can take someone that is so genteel, and someone that is so mannerly, someone that is so polite, but in a time of desperation, all of that goes out the window, and they become very frantic in their effort to get help. Faith's overpowering attribute is desperation. Faith introduces us to a number of violent faith people. As the second text says, people that reject passivity to press their way into the kingdom of God. They press their way into the kingdom of God. This principle is true even in the Old Testament, but I'm not going to use one Old Testament example. I'm going to use the examples that Jesus Christ participated in. First, there is the Syrophoenician woman. Here was a woman that came, and she was totally out of place. She was totally in the wrong dispensation. She was totally making her appeal to the wrong person at the wrong time. But she had heard of the power of Jesus Christ. And because of that, it overshadowed all of her sense of senility and all of her sense of belief and all of her sense of being benign. Suddenly, this woman that perhaps it was not her personality at all to be aggressive has become that aggressive person, and she simply approaches Christ without any regard to protocol whatsoever. I'm sure the handlers and those that were around Christ and those that were there to make sure the wrong person did not get to him were appalled that she slipped through their grip and their channel, and there she was in the face of Jesus Christ making a demand. And Jesus Christ reasons with her. And she said, but you have to understand my need. My need is a desperate need. My daughter is demon possessed, and there's not anything I can do about it. The priests can't help her. The scholars can't help her. I can't help her with parental love. She's simply demon-possessed, and I've exhausted all other resources. And so, Christ, I've come to you, but you've come to me at the wrong time, at the wrong place. You'll have to wait until Calvary becomes a reality, and there will be a place for you. It's not all people. It's not whosoever will now. It's still, I've come to my own, And so Jesus tried to explain to her that his ministry at this point in time was to the Jews and the Jews only. But she would have no hearing of it. She said, I cannot wait. I simply cannot wait. And he said, but you understand that I have come to give bread to the Jews. And she said, yes, but even the Gentiles are worthy from the crumbs that fall from the table. He compared her to a dog, and that did not dissuade her at all. Because here was a woman that was so desperate that she had lost all manners. And she was simply saying, I will not leave until I get from you the resolute promise that my daughter is healed. The interesting thing about this is that when you study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, particularly in the illustration of Christ and the Gospels, it is this attitude that he puts forth as the most amazing, as the thing that he finds to marvel at. People that simply say, I have no manners because my faith is simply gone without the skin of my wineskins. It's simply something that overpowers my teaching and my understanding and my niceness. It is simply saying, I have to have an answer. And when Jesus Christ saw that this woman had that faith that was so rude and so uncaring of protocol, it appealed to Jesus Christ. That ought to be a message to us today, that if we care enough, if our desperation becomes supreme, there is nothing can stand between us and a petition answered from our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to say, I've got an excuse why I didn't get an answer. But here is a woman with a bucket full of excuses that says, I simply will not succumb to my excuses. I've got one thing in mind, and that is the deliverance of my daughter. And I want to see what God is going to do. And I appeal to you, Christ, only on who you are, not on protocol, not on dispensation. And ladies and gentlemen, when you come to Christ, you can't appeal to him on the amount you've given to the church, not a tithing check, not a life that is perfect, not a sinless performance. None of those are your appellate court. The appeal that you make to Christ is that you are who you are. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You have all power in your hand. And praise God, you can begin what you want to begin, and you can end what you want to end. What a mighty God we serve. The protocol was Jews first and Gentiles left over. But she said, I'm going to change that. Jesus illustrates this story to illustrate that we trump protocol with faith. Faith is the greatest thing that you can have. Desperate for deliverance for a demon-possessed daughter, she breaks all the rules and comes away with a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today that there is nothing that can prevent you from getting the miracle you need in your life. The devil is a liar. He would like to point to your past failures. He would like to point to your past sins and your past mistakes and say, that's the reason why God will not intervene in your life. But friend, I want to tell you that miracles are never predicated upon your perfection. They're always predicated upon the perfection of Jesus Christ, and he's altogether perfect. He is our rose of Sharon, our bright and our morning star. He knows no limitation. Sickness is not a barrier to him. It is an opportunity for him to display his power. Poverty is not something that stymies him, but he is able to supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Not your riches in your bank account, not your riches of your connections and your colleagues, but according to his riches in glory. It's always about his riches in glory, not about your poverty on earth. And so God is saying to us today, you do not have to obey the rules and be congenial and polite, but you can be rude and you can press to the head of the line. something that Jesus never says is next. When Jesus Christ was performing his miracles and they were standing in long lines, he never says next. It's always somebody that jumps up and says, I will not be denied. It's always a Bartimaeus that says, oh, David, son of David, Jesus, you are able to heal me. I want to see. And the handlers and all of those around Christ would say, shut your mouth. You're breaking protocol. But Bartimaeus cried even the more so, even louder. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil wants to make you mannerly. He wants to make you wait in line, but you simply don't have to do that. If you will praise God and press in, if you will praise a little louder, if you'll pray a little longer, if you'll come a little more often, I can promise you there is a God that is able to break every guillotine. There is a God that is able to stymie every attack. There is a God that is able to intervene in every situation in your life. It's a matter of your faith. I have no respect for the devil, and I will not let the devil keep me in line. I will not let the devil remind me of my flesh and my past failures, but I will cast my cares on Christ, and I do what the Apostle Paul said. When I have infirmity and affliction and sin, it makes me not flee from Christ. It makes me run straight to him, not with the timidity of a sinner, but with the faith of a saint that says, God, your blood has made me whole. And so I demand a miracle. I demand that you intervene in this particular situation. Faith is never polite. Faith always jumps to the front of the line. And if you're going to wait for somebody else, you're always going to be the person that it never happens to. You've got to stand up and say, me first. I'm coming to the throne of grace. I don't care what the preachers say. I don't care what the Pharisees say. I don't care what his disciples say. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment regardless of what anybody else says. And I'm going to get what only God can give me. Second, there is the palsied paralytic. And straight away, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. A man that had paralysis, a man that has palsy, and he's laying on a couch, and he's convinced four friends to bring him to Jesus. And when they get there, it's like me. I drive by the fast food restaurants when I'm in a hurry. If they've got several cars in line, I just drive on and go to the next one. I'm not very particular what I eat. I'll eat just about anything. The thing with me is, how quick is it? I just want it quick because I'm on the go. I can eat anything. It doesn't matter. I eat whatever's set before me. And so I just drive by. When they drove up to this house where Jesus was teaching, it was an appalling crowd. Those four men carrying him said, we've wasted our time. There are hundreds of people outside the door, and we'll never get our friend in to see Jesus. We've simply wasted our time. Friend, I can tell you that you never waste your time coming to Christ. Don't think for a moment it was the four carriers that were motivating this miracle. I've heard them give a lot of credit, and they deserve some. But they were not the motivators of the miracle. It was the cripple on the couch that was the engine of this supernatural event. When they parked him behind hundreds of people at the end of the line, he simply said, I cannot stay here, because faith is never polite. What would you have us to do? And he said, I see nobody on the rooftop. There's always a way to get to Christ. There's always a way. Carry me to the rooftop. Tear the roof off. Can you imagine what the people in the line were saying? They were mumbling and grumbling and heckling. Can you imagine what was going on in the little cabin, in the little house where Jesus was teaching as he was expounding his profound truths to those that were listening? And suddenly sheetrock begins to crumble and dust begins to fall on the head of Jesus. And no longer does the crowd outside the door have Jesus' attention, but now Jesus is looking up. Somebody's breaking through. Friend, I'm going to tell you, somebody's always breaking through. That breakthrough person might as well be you. You might as well say, I am rude with my faith. My faith is not polite. I never call the devil, sir. You have no respect. You can't stop me, devil, because my faith is out of control. My faith is bigger than my personality. I've seen people that have personalities that are very quiet and respectful, but their faith was off the chain. Their faith was off the chart. They just believed that God could and would do anything for them. They believed that they were the apple of God's eye. Do you have faith in God's love? Do you believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God? Do you believe that every weapon formed against you will come to naught because God will see to it that it does? Do you believe that what is evil is turned for good because God is on your side? Do you believe that God bottles every tear? Do you believe that God scoops up every praise? Do you understand that God follows you? He knows every step you take. He sees every grimace on your face. He is sympathetic with every pain and every affliction and every infirmity. And he said, come boldly to me. Come boldly to me. And here is a man that was like the little engine. Remember when you was in the school and they talked about the little engine and he was so small? And they had a big train to pull and the big engine said, no, we won't do that. It's too hard. But the little engine said, I think I could do that. And they hooked the little engine up to all those cars and up the hill he goes. And the little engine says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And finally it tops the rise. And he said, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. And no matter what the devil says, I give him no respect. Because my faith is in a God that has unlimited power. He is my Savior. And every sin that I have committed is now cast afar from me as the east is from the west. He is a God that is able to blot out every transgression and reward me with His mercy and His grace. He is a God that is able to heal every sickness. He is a God that is able to open every door. I think I can, I think I can, the man on the couch said. You cannot. You're paralyzed. Oh, yes, I can. Tear the roof off. And suddenly the sheetrock breaks wide open. And here he comes and letting down on blankets and ropes until his couch settles right down in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's a little rude. He wasn't the first one to the party, but he was the first one to Jesus. You might not be a real long-time Christian, but friend, I'm going to tell you, if your faith is superior, God takes you to the first of the line and he's ready to perform in your behalf. God is in this building today, and God said, I just wish somebody would rush the front of the line. I wish somebody would tear the roof off. I'd heal their body today. They'd never need their medicine again. They'd never need their syringe again. It would never happen because I am a God that holds all power. My God has not changed. He has not diminished in authority or power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my God walks these aisles right now, and he's looking for somebody to say, I can. Will you be made whole? That's the question that Jesus offered time and time again, and he waits for you to say, yes, I will be made whole, because Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is my miracle worker. He is my mighty God. And thirdly, there is the little woman. She's just a little widow woman. And she has an adversary. We don't know what that adversary is. Jesus in this parable leaves it a fill in the blank because he wants you to put your adversary in that blank. Whatever's wrong in your life, and the Bible said her appeal was to a judge, and that judge was unjust, and that judge did not fear God, nor did he regard man. And that was who held the answer in his hand. And so she went to him, and he just brushed her aside. Now, some people think that this is an illustration of prayer, and that it is. And so if it's an illustration of prayer, the judge represents God. Oh, no, it doesn't. The Bible said the judge did not fear God, so the judge was not God. What was the judge? Judge was the unfairness of life. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that life is unfair. If you haven't found that out, you're either naive or you're a baby, because life is unfair. Everything that should fall in place for you doesn't fall in place. You're going to find many injustices in your life. And she was a victim of the injustice of life, a widow woman. Apparently no children to care for her. Her husband is gone and she is alone. And now she throws herself on the mercy of a judge that has no mercy. And Jesus gave us this illustration. You know, Job, in all of his troubles, said this. He said, life is a few days and full of trouble. Think of that. A commentary of life. A few days and full of trouble. You know what Christianity does? It extends your days and it minimizes your trouble. That's what Christianity is for. It extends your days and it minimizes your trouble. And so this little woman knocked on that judge's door, and he was just aghast that she and nobody would even bother him. And he said, get out of here, and I never want to see you again. But she came back the next day, and she came back the next day. And Jesus gives us the illustration that we should pursue her pattern. She came back the next day. When the judge was trying to eat in the hotel dining room, she was there saying, judge, have you changed your mind? Get away from me, woman, I'm trying to eat. Oh, friend, she was a bother. She just kept on coming. Kept on coming. Many years ago, one of my friends that had been my friend for 40 years said to another friend of mine, he said, you know that little guy that has that little church? And he called the man's name, and he said, why does Fender fool with him? He said, I wouldn't give that guy the time of day. Well, in the first place, that guy never called him because my friend didn't have anything to offer. But my friend that I was spending time with, there was one reason. He just never quit calling. He called every day. He drove down here from hundreds of miles away to see me time and time again. I had no particular affinity for him. We didn't have much in common. But the fact that he just wouldn't quit calling and he just wouldn't quit coming, it actually developed into a friendship that some people still don't understand today. Because he is a real bother. A real bother. Let me tell you something. If you are not bothered by people, they're probably not your friend. People that are bothering you love you. People that are bothering you care about you. I heard somebody say, I gave my phone number to very few people. And he said, once in a while, I'll see some of these people, and the pastor that said that pastors thousands of people, and he said, I'll see these people that I gave my private number to, and they'll say, doctor, I still got your number right here. I don't ever call you because I don't want to bother you. He said, I'd forgot about those people because they don't bother me. He said, if I gave you my phone number, I want to be bothered, or I wouldn't given you my phone number. Friend, people that bother you eventually become a part of your life. If you want to be effectual in the kingdom of God, you've got to be a botherer of God. You've got to talk to God all the time. I hear people pray in movies and they're so ignorant of the things of God and they say, oh God, if you'll answer this request, I'll never talk to you again. That almost automatically guarantees that that prayer request is not going to be answered because God is not a one-time God. He's a God of relationship. And faith says, God, I'll bother you every day. You told me that I would have daily bread, and if my daily bread doesn't show up, I'll be asking you, where's my bread? Where's my bread? Sister Diane, that is our receptionist, is such a wonderful, faithful lady. And one of the first things I do every morning is the mail in yet? Is the mail in yet? And she knows to notify me when the mail comes in. I'm a mailaholic. I'm always expecting good news. I like phone calls. I like mail. You don't understand. I'm a born optimist. I think the next phone call is going to be the biggest miracle of my life. I think the next mail is going to be the biggest check I've ever had, or the best news, or the greatest invitation to participate. I just love to be bothered. And God was saying, if you want to understand how faith works, faith never, ever gives up. It tracked him everywhere he went. If he went to the cafeteria, she was there. If he went down to the suit store to buy a suit, she was there every day. She just wouldn't give up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way faith is. Some of you have come to this church for 12 years, and you've never made it from a pew to an altar. Do you understand? We've got a dozen people that it really makes Pastor Brandon and I look like great preachers, because no matter what we preach, we're going to have response, because they will respond to any sermon. It's not how good we preach. It's about the fact that their faith is literally out of control. They think one more trip to the altar is going to get me the miracle I need. One more song sung is going to get me the miracle I need. One more praise I give is going to break through. And ladies and gentlemen, Christ illustrates that point time and time again with his parables and his illustration. He simply does not want you to quit. There is no quit in me. Quitters are losers, and I simply will not quit. People that give up on their first wife usually give up on their second wife. People that give up on Living Way are going to give up on Cornerstone. That's just in them. They're just quitters. But friend, I just don't quit. I'm not going to quit praising him. I'm like that little Cyphernician woman. The rules not apply to me, I'll break them, praise God. I am like this widow. I simply going to come every day, because I do not take no for an answer. I don't stand in line. I don't take no for an answer. I don't take the fact that I'm breaking protocol as a reason to sit down and shut up. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep praising God. I'm going to keep talking in tongues. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep trusting God, because my God is all in all. And he is on my side. And he's done so many wonderful things for me. But God is looking for venues to display his power. And ladies and gentlemen, your promise is not a dead end. Your problem is a place for God to show up and show out and show the world what he can do. He can make in you a miracle you never thought was possible, but you just can't quit. You just can't quit. You never say, I understand, devil. That's just not for me. I don't understand anything you say, devil. You're a liar and the father of it. My sins have not separated me from the blood of Jesus Christ, but the blood of Jesus Christ has drawn me nearer to God. My lack of ability has not kept God from using me, but God said he's available. I will use him. You can use all the excuses you want to, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm telling you that God is hunting you, that God's on your side, that God is looking for you, that God is chiding you, that God is talking to you, and he's saying, just a little bit more, just a little bit farther. Please call me again. Please call me again. I'm just amazed at how many opportunities are lost because people call one time and hang up. Just keep calling. Just keep calling. Just keep calling. Just keep calling. Just keep knocking. Just keep seeking. Just keep asking. I tell you, there is a God. And he said, though the unjust bear long with them, he said, finally, because you weary me, I am going to grant the need that you have to take care of your adversary. Is there anybody in this building that just won't quit? If you're asking God for a new house, just keep asking. If you're asking God for a better marriage, just keep asking. If you're asking God for a better job, just keep asking. Just keep praying. Just keep praising God and say, I've got faith, and my faith refuses to be at the back of the line. My faith refuses to take no for an answer. I break all the rules. But praise God, when the doors are open, I'll be there. When the altar call is made, I'll be the first at the altar. I might not be able to carry a tune, but I'm going to sing. If you don't like the way I sound, move over a pew, because I've come to sing the Lord's song, not only in a strange land, but with a strange voice. But I'm going to praise God. Nothing can stop me, because I've got faith in Almighty God. And my faith says that my God is able. My God is able. My God is able. Sister, no good thing will be denied you, Jesus said. Just keep on praising. Just keep on believing God. God's able to make a way where there is no way. The door that slammed shut is now going to open. God is opening in your behalf. God is making a way for you. And you just need to say, God, I will not be denied. Every day, every day, every day, every day. day, every day she went until the judge was suddenly saying, yes, whatever you need. And God is saying that to people in this audience right now. Don't stop. Don't stop. The devil is a liar. He wants to tell you that you'll never get your healing, that you'll never get your miracle, you'll never make your marriage work, you'll never get the job. The devil is a liar. God is in this house, and he's saying, right now, right now, right now, you need to take another step toward your victory in Jesus' name. If you're in this house and you're not saved, you say, well, I tried to live for God, but I couldn't. Try again. Try again. Get up again. Try again. You said, well, I went to the altar once. Have you been to the altar 100 times? Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep believing God and saying, God, my faith has no manners. My faith does not obey the rules. My faith does not know about protocol. My faith simply says that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, and I'm seeking you today. If you're in this building, you're not saved, you need to come and give your life to Jesus right now. If you're in this building and you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, you need to come and receive it right now. If you've never been baptized in water, you ought to get baptized right now. If you're here and you say, I've been sick for so long and so many people have prayed for me. Oh, friend, it was not but a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic started, in this very building, a man from Jackson, Mississippi, that had been prayed for by great preachers all over America, drove. He saw us online or something. Anyway, from Jackson, Mississippi, he drove. Been prayed for lots of times, but he was dying of cancer. He came to this very building in a service we were having on Sunday, and we prayed for him. And he wrote us a letter 2 months later and said, it happened at Living Way. I tried it everywhere, but something clicked in Living Way. My cancer is gone. My doctor said it disappeared. Ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to take no for an answer. His promises are yea and amen. God is here right now to heal you. God is here to make a way where there is no way. God is here to open the door. God is here to mend the relationship in the name of Jesus. Anybody else want to come to this altar so I can agree with you in prayer that God is going to do something in your life that you've been wanting done for a long time?